Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'm...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And today our topic is, now, who is the real Kenneth Copeland? He has... disguised himself in many ways over the years as a man of faith and a Bible teacher, but I think the real Kenneth Copeland has finally been revealed and the mask has been removed. Yesterday, I came across a video which I found very, very disturbing. Very shocking, and that's what we are going to talk about today. I will be playing the audio from this video where Kenneth Copeland actually has a Catholic priest come up onto the platform and call everyone back to Rome. He also plays a video clip from the Pope Francis, also calling back the separated brethren back to the Antichrist system called the Catholic Church. Now, we are the Bride of Christ, and the Bride of Christ cannot be married to a whorish system such as the Catholic Church, so we have no unity with this organization. And when we see these things happening, when we see these so-called famous Bible teachers unifying with Rome, then we need to run for our life, I'll tell you. Scripture is unfolding right before our eyes, so we're seeing it. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So you need to beware of people like Kenneth Copeland. And you can go to YouTube and see this video. It's Kenneth Copeland with this man, Tony Palmer. I never heard of this man before. I've never seen him, never heard of him. Supposedly, he worked for Kenneth Copeland at one time, I guess about 20 years ago. He headed up one of his ministry divisions, I think it was in South Africa, for about 3 years, and then he received a call from the Catholic Church to come work with them. So, I mean, who goes to work with the Catholic Church except a deceiver themselves? Now, I was raised Catholic. I attended Catholic school for 7 years, so I know quite a bit about the Catholic Church, and And thank God I was delivered from it when I was about 12 or 13, because I saw the hypocrisy back then, and I didn't want anything more to do with it. So thank you, Jesus, that I got out of that mess. But anyway, some of you maybe don't know the history. I'm just going to go over a little bit of the history, and let us not forget history, because history has a way of repeating itself. So I know they like to call themselves a Christian church, but let's remember William Tyndale. Now, you say, who is William Tyndale? Well, William Tyndale was an Englishman, a scholar. He translated the Bible into English. He was born in 1484, and he died in 1496. So the Catholic Church at one time did not allow people to read the Bible. They did not want the Bible published in a language and distributed to people so they could read it themselves, because they wanted to control everything, which they did a pretty good job of doing. But you know, in my eyes, there's always been Christians since Jesus died on the cross, and in Antioch, we were called Christians. We were not called Protestants. We were called Christians. I am a Christian. And I think that name was kind of tacked on to us somewhere after the Reformation, where true believers in Jesus Christ were then called Protestants, or people who protest. Well, yeah, I do protest against the devil and his heresies and his false religious systems, but I am a Christian. I am a follower of Jesus Christ, born again, washed in his blood. Thank you, Jesus. But anyway, William Tyndale, now his crime against the Catholic Church was translating the Bible into the English language. And for that, the Catholic Church executed him by strangling, and then he was burned at the stake. So let us not forget some of the atrocities that were perpetuated by this organization that calls themselves Christian. Let's look at John Wycliffe. Now, John Wycliffe, and we hear even today there is a group called the Wycliffe Translators, and they go all over the world and they translate the Bible into, or they're trying to translate the Bible into all the languages of the world so everybody can have a Bible. Now, John Wycliffe was born in 1320, and he died in 1384. He was an English scholar also, a theologian. He was a teacher at Oxford University in England. He was a dissident against the Roman Catholic Church during the 14th century. He was also, his crime against society and against the Catholic Church was also translating the Bible. It's said that he translated the entire New Testament. And so he was so hated that he was declared a heretic. Now imagine that. Imagine someone, a believer in Jesus Christ, translating the Bible into a language that people can understand, his aim was so everyone could have a Bible. And of course we know that we must read the Word of God for ourselves, otherwise we could be deceived, because anybody could say anything about God, and if we don't read the Bible for ourselves, we won't know. But anyway, he was declared a heretic by the Catholic Church, and even after he was dead, they exhumed his remains and they burned his remains because they hated him so much. So why would any real Bible-believing Christian today want anything to do with this organization? Not only that, they've murdered millions of people throughout the centuries for and called Bible-believing Christians heretics, burn them at the stake, rip their tongues out of their mouth, put them on racks. Now, I've seen a rack in the Tower of London. They still have a room there that they call the Instrument of Torture Room. And Christians were put on these racks where your legs are tied, your hands are tied, and then you're stretched. It has a crank, and then they crank it, and then they stretch, break your arms and break your legs. And your crime was that you wouldn't join the Catholic Church. That was your crime. So a leopard doesn't change its spots. And then we also have the, let us remember, the Guy Fawkes plot, the gunpowder plot. And in 1604, Guy Fawkes, they say he was a Jesuit priest, which I wouldn't doubt, and so is this Pope Francis, a Jesuit. They wanted to assassinate King James, and they were going to blow up his palace there in London. Now, why did they want to do that? They hated King James because he was going to translate the Bible also. And so there was a plot to kill him. Now, who does things like that? Does a Christian church do things like that? I don't think so. I don't think so. So if you want to know more about the Guy Fawkes plot, and his name is G-U-Y, and it's F for Frank, A-W-K-E-S, you can study the history about the gunpowder plot. And they were actually brought to trial and found guilty of this act. So he was transferred to the Tower of London. And the Tower of London, when you went to the Tower of London, if you were a prisoner, you usually didn't come out of there. But anyway, those are a few bits of history. You can also read Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's a great account of the violent history of this organization. And so don't be deceived, especially by this new pope. Oh, he looks so friendly. And he has such a good message of peace and love. And he's a wolf, a real wolf. So this is not a stupid man. They know what they're doing. And Jesus warned us about the one world church. He warned us not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So we don't. We just don't. And we need to speak up about it. Now, one scripture here, Romans 16:17, and this applies to Kenneth Copeland. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So we avoid them, we mark them. And there's also a scripture that says a heretic after the first and second admonition rejects. So we reject the heresy. We reject the heretics. We don't invite them in and say, well, we're going to have unity. You can't have unity with heresy. And you can't have unity with false teachers. You can't have unity with people that don't really know God. We come into the unity of the faith, and our faith is based on the fact that Jesus Christ was born. He always was, and he always will be, but he came to earth. He was born as a baby, grew up, and took the form of a man. He died on a cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven in a body. He's alive. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And he said, ye must be born again. So we repent of our sins. We don't have to go to confession in a box to a man. We ask God to forgive us of our sins. We accept Jesus Christ and the work that he did for us on Calvary. We accept his salvation and his free gift of eternal life. It cannot be earned by good works. It is a free gift. So we accept it. We are born again. We have a new life in Christ. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. It has nothing to do with joining an organization. There is no organization that can offer you salvation. There's only one person that can offer it to you, and that's the Lord Jesus. So if you need salvation, you need to ask him for it, not join some church or some religious system. You can also go to the Catholics have a website, catholic.com. So the teachings of the Catholic Church are there. They're also in their catechism. Now, when I went to Catholic school, and I was there for 7 years, we never read the Bible, never one time, never, never, never opened the Bible. We read the catechism every morning. We had our religious instruction, so we were thoroughly indoctrinated into the catechism, but I never knew what the Bible said. They told us not to read the Bible because we couldn't understand it. Of course, that was back in the 50s. So anyway, if you go to Catholic.com, now I put in no salvation outside the Catholic Church, which you're going to hear in this video where this guy, this Palmer, is calling people back to Catholic Church. They call us separated brethren, and their whole purpose in this ecumenical movement is to get people to come back to the so-called one true church. So it says here on this website that there is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. You have to join the Catholic Church in order to get salvation. It says here, since Jesus established the Catholic Church as necessary for salvation, those who knowingly and willingly reject him or his church cannot be saved. Now, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where Jesus said, ye must join the Catholic Church for salvation. If there's a scripture there that says that, please show it to me, because I've never seen it. He said he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. He didn't say anything about joining any Catholic Church. So that's a lie. That's a lie. Now, I think that they put it in very good terms here on this website that outside the church there is no salvation, and they call it extra ecclesiam nulla salus. And they say that They're trying to have this ecumenical movement, and in recent times, they say, the church has recognized that it's necessary, that its teaching about the necessity of the Catholic Church for salvation has been widely misunderstood. So it has been reformulated. This teaching, it has been reformulated in a more positive way. Now, where have we heard that? No, don't make a negative confession. Now, they try to reformulate it to make it more appealing to us so-called Protestant separated brethren. Here is how the Catechism of the Catholic Church begins to address this topic. How are we to understand this affirmation, often repeated by the Church Fathers? Reformulated positively, it means that all salvation comes through Christ the head, through the church, which is his body. In keeping with the church's current spirit of ecumenism, this positive reformulation comes across less harshly than previous negative formulations. Even so, it remains quite controversial. So let's see how this new formulation squares with Scripture. Yeah, well, it doesn't square with Scripture. They say that when Jesus spoke of salvation, he quoted three verses. You have to be baptized, which they believe you're supposed to be baptized when you're a baby, but babies don't talk, so you can't accept Jesus when you're 2 months old. It says repentance, and then it also says that you have to take their communion, which they believe Jesus lives in a wafer, which to me, anybody that can believe that Jesus lives in a wafer, now that is really stretching the truth. Come on. Really. Please. Anyway, so it says the primary role of the Catholic Church in conjunction with salvation is becoming quite clear. So, and then they refer to the catechism. But there's nothing in Scripture that says that you have to be baptized as a baby. You have to receive communion to receive salvation. Most Catholics don't ever think they can go to heaven because you don't think you're good enough. You might make purgatory, like they kind of believe in this kind of reincarnation thing where you die and you go to a place called purgatory, and then you have people saying masses for you and paying money. Actually, you can actually pay money to get people out of purgatory and get them into heaven. Call the Catholic Church and ask how much a mass costs to pray for dead people to get out of purgatory. The last time I talked to them a few years ago, it was $10. So, come on. Why does anyone want to believe that this is a Christian church? And then the wolf himself, Kenneth Copeland, actually having this Tony Palmer speak at his so-called believers or unbelievers convention. And the also very shocking is that after this Pope Francis guy gives his video presentation, which they play at this so-called believers unbelievers convention, these people stand up and they're applauding and screaming, and I'm like, oh, yeah, well, that's exactly what's going to happen when the false prophet and the Antichrist appear and start deceiving people. And the so-called Christians are going to be standing up and cheering this guy like they were here at this conference, cheering this false prophet, Francis, wolf in sheep's clothing. So, anyway, I'm just going to play one quick clip, and I'm going to play it several times because at the end of this pitiful demonstration that they had, this Tony Palmer says to Kenneth Copeland, he says, "You're going to have to come to the Vatican." And Copeland says, "Oh, yes, I'm ready. Yes, I'm ready." Yeah, well, I can see it now. The so-called great man of faith and power bowing down, because when you meet this guy, the Pope, you're supposed to bow down and kiss his ring. So, yeah, I can see it. I can see it. I hope they get a picture of it. Anyway, I'm going to play this clip. It's a short one, and then I'm going to play. It's actually about 45 minutes of this, and you'll hear it for yourself, and actually you have to go back and listen to some of it over again because it's so shocking, but so revealing, because we know the end is near. We know we're in the end times. I've never seen so much deception. I have never seen so much deception. Now, I've been saved since 1981, and we would always talk about the book of Revelation, and we would talk about the things that were going to happen in the end. And to see these things actually happening, it is amazing. So anyway, you'll hear in this clip, you'll hear Tony Palmer inviting Kenneth Copeland to the Vatican.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
I think you're going to have to come to the Vatican.
I will. I'm available. Praise God. God's will be done. Amen. Tony, thank you, sir. My, how you've blessed this place tonight.
I love you.
I love you.
Give him a love, baby.
Thank you.
Amen. Woo! I told you you'd never forget it. Ha ha, yeah.
Sure.
Whoa.
I'll never forget it.
I tell you, I'm telling you right now, heaven is thrilled over this.
Oh, yeah, heaven is thrilled over this. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know what's so thrilling to me? I mean, when we went into the ministry 47 years ago, this was impossible. People would read that scripture and say, yeah, right. Till we all come together in unity of our faith. And we ain't no way that's ever going to happen.
We don't unify with a false religious system. Anyway, I'm going to now play the entire broadcast of Kenneth Copeland, and then when the part comes on where the Pope, they actually have Francis actually made a video presentation to be played at the Kenneth Copeland Unbelievers Convention. And he claims he does not know how to speak English, which I doubt. I'm sure he knows how to speak English, but he speaks a little bit of English. Then he speaks Italian, which he really is Spanish. So, but then he speaks Italian. And when he starts to speak Italian, I will come back and read it in English for you so that you can hear what he's saying. And he's actually trying to invite us all back to join up with the beast. Anyway, here we go.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, Lord. Come on, let's give the Lord praise tonight. Hallelujah. If you're not on fire by now, after what all we've heard, your wood is wet. Come on, I said, give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Lord. Now, I knew this along. But I heard it from the Lord. But then I also know it now because of what I know. You're going to talk about tonight for a long time. Oh, yeah. I mean it. I said, you're going to talk about tonight for a long time.
Yeah.
Now, you got ears to hear?
Yeah.
Say it.
My ears
are blessed.
My ears are blessed.
Now, you know what? We need to look at that. Don't sit down yet. Just get your Bible. Ooh, we need to put your eyes on that. Matthew chapter 13. Excuse me. And let's look at the 15th verse. This people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. If you can close your eyes, you can open them. Amen? Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, any time, I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. Say it, my ears are blessed. My eyes are blessed. Shake hands with two or three people and say, your eyes and ears are blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. Hallelujah. And you may be seated. Praise God. That's something really, really special the Lord has blessed us with tonight. And somebody I want to introduce to you. Brother Tony, come on up, would you please? And Tony Palmer, some of you may know Tony. Tony and I go way back, but he's gonna be telling you the story. I asked him to come give his testimony, and he's got a special message for us tonight. So would you welcome Tony Palmer to this platform. Bishop, thank you, sir.
Bless you.
Yes, sir. Amen. Do you have any idea what a thrill it is for me to call you Bishop instead of boy?
I can imagine.
Yeah, because when I first met you, man, I mean, you're just a kid.
I was a boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 21 years ago.
Amen. Glory to boy.
I grew up.
Yeah.
So
did a lot of others of us, you know. Amen.
You stayed the same age.
Did I really?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You can see why he gets ahead. You understand? Tony, help yourself, sir.
Thank you, sir. For giving me this opportunity to spend a couple of moments introducing to you something really, really special and historic. Kenneth asked me if I would give a little bit of background to who I am, our connection, and what we're about to show you tonight. About 22 years ago, I came to faith, a radical conversion experience, and it changed everything about my outlook and my life. And within a year, I found myself in full-time ministry, working for the church where I got saved. And I was door-knocking, giving the gospel to every single family in our suburb, which was about 3,500 homes. It took me and my wife 8 months to speak to every single person in our suburb about Jesus Christ. And that was 21 years ago. And I remember, I've never told you this, Brother Kenneth, that before we used to go out in the morning to do this evangelization, door knocking, we used to watch this crazy Texan preach the gospel, and we'd never heard anything like this before. Kenneth Copeland. He used to be our encourager every morning to go out and preach the gospel. And that's how I came across the message, the word of faith. By preparing myself every morning to go out and preach the gospel by watching some video VHS tapes, do you remember those? Back in the 1930s. And we used to get encouraged, and it was amazing the work that we did. That was just the beginning. Then I went into Bible school, I got trained for the ministry, and eventually I went into the office in South Africa to ask a friend of mine, Steve Kutsia, who was your South African director at the time, for some building advice. And instead of getting building advice, I got a job. Gloria, good evening. I got a job. I was hired by KCM. And within a year, they asked me to be the director for Africa. That would have been 1998. And I promised John when he interviewed me, I told him straight, I said, John, I'll come and work for you guys, but I'm leaving. I'm going to Italy. And I'm kind of like, not telling you I'm leaving you before I'm joining you, but you got to know I can only stay for a while. So he asked me for 3 years, and I said, fine, unless the Holy Ghost tells me otherwise. That was our covenant. We made that agreement. Well, it was about 2.5 years later, and the Holy Ghost said otherwise. And we were sent out to Italy, where my wife is from. I've been married to Emmy now for 22 years, and it's been a lot of fun. Italian wives are incredibly fun. I say that with a big smile. And it was an incredible time for us because I was born again, spirit-filled, in a evangelical Pentecostal church. Like I said, I came to radical faith, both me and Emiliana, my wife, we had radical conversion experiences. We'd been raised in the word of faith. We'd worked for Kenneth and Gloria in South Africa. But the call that we got to Italy was the call from Rome. You see, while we were visiting Italy, our family, on an annual basis, and we would share our faith with our family, it was hard for us because when they would get born again, there was nowhere for them to fellowship because the evangelical churches at that time in Italy were incredibly legalistic, where women, men and women had to sit separate and women had to wear veils on their heads, and you couldn't even go to the beach because it was considered nudity. So as loving, Jesus-loving Christians, we didn't want to send our family to those kind of churches. But then sending them back to the Catholic Church, which was so traditional, that was going to kill their faith. So me and my wife prayed in 1992 in my grandmother's bedroom. Nobody knew about this prayer. We said, Lord, if you want us to leave South Africa, we will leave on one condition. That we come to Italy, but it must be through the Catholic Church. Nobody knew about that prayer. 1992. Well, in 2003, 10 years later, 11 years later, I got a call, an email actually, from Rome, saying, Tony, we've seen your ministry and we'd like you to share your ministry with the Roman Catholic Charismatic Renewal. Would you be willing to come to Italy? And there was a clause, you must be self-funded. So I thought, no problem. As Protestants, we've been praying for the Catholic Church for years. So obviously people are going to back me and send me. I sent out my letters for partners. I mean, I worked for Kenneth and Gloria for 3 years. I knew about how partners worked. And Kenneth and Gloria were the first and the only who said, yes, we'll partner with you.
Yeah, sure.
And he hasn't stopped since.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They partnered with the pastor.
So the Lord said, what have you got? So that we got a house, we got a car. So we said, that's it. We put our house and our car in the ministry. And we moved to Italy with nothing. No ministry connections, couldn't speak Italian. Some crazy evangelical who'd been called by the Roman Catholic Church to work with them. And we were self-financed except for one partner. Well, that was 10 years ago. And if you do get to know me personally, you'll find out I'm not really a good networker. I don't try to get myself into places. In fact, I prefer to sit at the back, out of the light, so I can enjoy the service. But God orchestrated so many divine appointments like Joseph. And it excites me because I know what I haven't done to be put in front of the people I found myself. And tonight is a culmination of what's happened in the last 10 years. And we have a very special message. And I wanted you to understand the connection between KCM and the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, because the Catholic Charismatic Renewal is the hope of the church, the Catholic Church. I was at a meeting at St. Peter's, I think it was about a year and a half ago. It was Pentecost, remembering the coming of the Holy Spirit, and Pope Benedict, there was 450,000 of us outside of St. Peter's singing, Come Holy Spirit. All Catholics, except a couple of us who, they call us the ecumenical delegation. I remember the first time I actually put on the long telare, it's a long black cassock. You've seen the priest when they wear the cassocks? I had to wear mine, and I didn't know that you had to wear trousers underneath. So I remember, and they because we were honored guests, they put us in the first row and the Pope was right next to us, and I crossed my legs and my leg came out. And all the bishops looked at me. And they said, He's Anglican, don't worry. Funny. So I was really not trying to work the system. Pope Benedict, he said to all the charismatic leaders, charismatic Catholics, publicly, he said this in Italian to them. He said, "You charismatics, you are the hope of the church."
Oh, yes.
Stop. That's only the antipasta. He said, "And you need to evangelize within before you evangelize outside." And when I saw that, I realized I'd given my life to a good cause. Because it wasn't just some political, diplomatic maneuvering of the Catholic Church to try and get us all to become one big thing. They really wanted their people to come to faith. About 8 years ago, I was working for the Catholic Church in South America, in Argentina. And it's protocol when we go into a Catholic diocese, we go visit the Catholic bishop, and we ask his permission to work among his people. And when I went to Argentina, the bishop that I had to visit at that time was Father Mario Jorge Bergoglio. And he and I struck up a very intimate relationship. I have three spiritual fathers. The man who ordained me a priest, Archbishop Robert Wise, 10 years ago, and then later consecrated me 4 years ago as a bishop. He's my spiritual father. Kenneth Copeland, without a doubt, he received me in South Africa, very much so we connected very quickly, you and I. And Emmy and Gloria, my wife. We had good times, those three victory campaigns in 99. And I remember the day before I was ordained a priest, I came to Brighton to visit you and ask for your permission and your blessing to be a priest. And you prayed for me behind the curtains, behind the stage, before I went off the next morning and became a priest. And the third spiritual father was Mario Jorge Bergoglio. Because you see, my wife, when she saw she could be Catholic and charismatic and evangelical and Pentecostal, and it was absolutely accepted within the Catholic Church, she said that she'd like to reconnect her roots with her Catholic culture. So she did. And so I was working in Italy with the Catholic Church. My wife was a charismatic Catholic. My children were going to Catholic school, so we raised our kids Catholic. Charismatics.
Great.
Pentecostals. Evangelicals.
Oh, yes.
Jesus was all of those, you know. Jesus is sacramental. He instituted the sacraments. He did the things that was required of him in the synagogue. He believed in sign and symbol. He used it all the time in his parables.
Jesus.
But he was also evangelical because he said, you have to be born again. It is written. He was also the contemplative. He was also the charismatic. How much of Jesus do you want? Do you only want one denomination of Jesus? Jump in, get it all.
Wow.
So,
Father Mario,
he took me aside when he heard about my testimony about having this ecumenical family, and he started a friendship with me. We started studying together, meeting more often, to a point where he became one of my mentors. And it was very surprising to me when he emailed me a week before the election of the Pope last year, and he said, "Tony, will you please pray for me because they called me into the conclave." Now, conclave is when they choose the Pope, because conclave means with a key, with key, conchiave. That's what it means, with a key. They literally lock the cardinals into the Sistine Chapel until they've made a decision. Conclave. So I was thinking maybe he had to go in there and be one of the cardinals, because he was a cardinal, to pray for the Pope. And I was on the train leaving Rome that day when they announced the Pope. And the Pope was Mario Jorge Bergoglio, my friend. My spiritual father had become the Pope.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, you need to be clear, this is not about my story, even though I promised, Kenneth asked me if I'd just connect the dots so you'd understand. This is important for you. It's important for the partners, because you support the work I do. But this is not about my story. This is about his story. His story. Because God is doing something. Now, I walked in after, I'm jumping the gun. Let me just say this. At Christmas time, because my spiritual father, one of my mentors, had become Pope, I'm mature enough to know that my relationship is going to change now. He's got a new job description. I didn't expect to have a friendship like I had before. But I felt blessed that I had that time with him. He imparted many things to me, like all my spiritual fathers have. I got a phone call just after Christmas when I was relaxing with my son, watching a bit of TV. And I grabbed my mobile phone. I said, yes, Tony Palmer speaking. And he says, hello, this is Pope Francis. I thought it was one of my friends. Yeah. They were looking at me through the window. And I said, Father Mario? He said, yes. So I ran upstairs to my office where there was no noise. And I said, what are you phoning me for? He said, when are you going to be in Rome next? I said, I'll be in Rome next 2 weeks' time. I have to visit one of my congregations. He said, can you come and see me? Yeah, this nobody from South Africa who gives up his house to follow some crazy call from the Catholics ends up getting a phone call at home from the Pope. So I said to him, look, I'll be there on the 13th. He said, no, I'm busy. And this is, I'm not making this up. This is how it was. Emmy was at the door listening to the conversation. And I said, well, I can do the 14th. I can stay one day extra in Rome. He said, let me go get my diary. I heard the phone go on the table. I heard the feet come back. He said, Bishop Tony? He said, yes. He said, 14th's good for me. I'm free. He said to me, what time? I said, you're the Pope, and you're asking me what time? He said, yeah, what time suits you? So I thought, well, 10 o'clock, because I can miss the traffic, because Rome's bad, the traffic. So I said, 10 o'clock will suit me fine. He said, see you at 10 o'clock. So I said to him, Pope Francis, I can't believe that you're phoning me. I don't know how to react to you. I was just being honest. He said, what do you mean? I said, you're the Pope of the Universal Church. 1.2 billion people. And I'm just an everyday clergyman doing his bit for the kingdom. He said, Tony, we cut covenant. We are brothers. He said, nothing will change that friendship. I was blessed. Because all these stories you've heard about Francis, about picking his friends up in his Popemobile and taking them and all that, going out to visit people, this, he hasn't changed his spots. So, I went last Tuesday, I went to see him. We had the morning together, just me and him, the whole morning in his apartment. And I asked him, I said, so what's the agenda? Why did you call me? He said, I have no agenda. There's nothing to discuss. That's a father. That's a mentor. So I started to tell him, you know, I said, I can't believe I'm sitting here. I said, you know how much we can do together? Yes. And we made a covenant to work for unity for the church. And I said, listen, next week I'm going to Kenneth Copeland Ministries Ministers Conference. And I told him about you. I told him all your crazy stories. I said, there's going to be thousands of leaders and these guys have their jets. They've got TV shows. And I said, they've got churches of 10,000, 2,000, 20,000. I said, these are big fishes. So he said, so what do you want to do? I said, well, can you please? I told him that about Kenneth and Gloria's partnership with us from day one. And I lost a lot of evangelical friends because they thought I'd betrayed the faith because I was building a kingdom and not an empire. Sorry. And so I said to him, how's about we take, can you give Kenneth a word and give the leaders a word? He said, okay. So I'm waiting for him. And he says, you want to take a message next week to Texas for me? I said, yes, sir. So I said, do you want me to write it down? He said, why don't we make a video? Now, I had in the back of my mind, I had my iPhone, right? I always have my iPhone. I had in the back of my mind to ask him, but I didn't want to be cheeky and break the friendship. I don't want to abuse the friendship Friendships are sacred. They are gifts from God. You can't use friendships. Let God use your friendship, but you don't use it. And so I was waiting to see if there was like a Holy Spirit opportunity to ask him. But he was the one who asked. He asked, can I make a video? And so we've had it edited. We've had it subtitled because he speaks in Italian. He doesn't speak English. He tries in the beginning, but then he switches to Italian straight away. So tonight, the Pope. It's a historic moment because I've served three popes. Because I started working with them when John Paul was still alive, and then Pope Benedict, and now Pope Francis. And you know, Pope Francis, St. Francis of Assisi, was an open charismatic. This is the first pope in history that took the Francis's name, because he's openly charismatic.
Yeah, sure.
And this is history that we've got a pope who recognizes us as brothers and sisters, speaks to us as brothers and sisters, and has sent a message to us, and you'll see what the message is about. And I need you to at least understand a little bit of the history behind this. Because we are living in an incredibly important generation. I believe that God has brought me here to this year's Ministers' Conference in the spirit of Elijah. Let me explain. If you look carefully, the spirit of Elijah was on John the Baptist to turn the hearts of the sons to the fathers. And to turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons. To prepare the way for the Lord. And we know that prophecy always has a double fulfillment. And we know that Elijah will come before the second coming as well. And I've understood that the spirit of Elijah is the spirit of reconciliation. To return hearts to each other. This is very important. We know that the first 1,000 years there was one church, it was called the Catholic Church. And the word Catholic means universal, it doesn't mean Roman. Catholic means, if you're born again, raise your hand if you're born again. You're a Catholic.
I am not. You're a liar.
Take back, redeem what belongs to you. We are Catholics. And then there was the split at the end of the first millennium. We had the Orthodox, the East and West, two churches. Then 500 years later, we have Luther and his protest. Three churches in 1,500 years. Three denominations, not three churches. And then, from Luther's protest onwards, 33,000 new denominations. I've come to understand that diversity is divine. It's division that's diabolic. It's true what you were saying about the glory. I agree with you, of course it's true. The glory that the Father had, he gave to Jesus. The glory was the presence of God. What is the charismatic renewal? It's when we experience the presence of God. And he said, and I give them the glory, pragmatic reason, so that they may be one. It's the glory that glues us together, not the doctrines. It's the glory. If you accept that Christ is living in me and the presence of God is in me and the presence of God is in you, that's all we need. Because God will sort out all our doctrines when we get upstairs.
Oh, really?
Therefore, Christian unity is the basis of our credibility. Because Jesus said, until they are one, they will not believe. The world will not believe, as they should, until we are one. Division destroys our credibility. It is fear that keeps us separated, because fear is false evidence appearing real. It's an acronym.
F-E-A-R,
false evidence appearing real. Because most of your fear is based on propaganda.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Now, why is it historic? Because in 1999, the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant Lutheran Church signed an agreement that brought an end to the protest. Luther believed that we were saved by grace through faith alone. Amen. But that's not it. The Catholic Church believed that we were saved by works. And that was the protest. In 1999, they wrote this together. Because in the Protestant church, we had a lot of cheap salvations. People were getting born again, but no fruit whatsoever. And because we didn't even look for fruit, it wasn't the issue, because it wasn't necessary for salvation. And no, it's not. But it's a good judge if you are saved. So what these two churches did, they put the two definitions together. Listen to it. I'm reading verbatim from the Catholic Vatican website. Justification means that Christ himself is our righteousness, in which we share through the Holy Spirit in accord with the will of the Father. Together we, Catholics and Protestants, Lutherans, believe and confess that by grace alone, in faith in Christ's saving works, and not because of any merit on our part, we are accepted by God and receive the Holy Spirit, who renews our hearts while equipping and calling us to good works. This brought an end to the protest of Luther.
Yeah,
brothers and sisters,
sure.
Luther's protest is over. Is yours. In 1999, this was signed by the Lutheran Church, the Federation Worldwide. Later, about 5 years later, the Worldwide Methodists signed the same agreement, but as of today, we still have had no Protestant evangelical that will stand up and sign this agreement to agree with our brothers and sisters that we are saved by grace through faith to good works. And I believe that's something that needs to be fixed. There's a challenge for you. So the protest has been over for 15 years. And
really?
I get a bit cheeky here because I challenge my Protestant pastor friends. If there is no more protest, how can there be a Protestant church? Maybe we're all Catholics again. But we are reformed. We're Catholic in the universal sense. We're not protesting the doctrine of salvation by the Catholic Church anymore. We now preach the same gospel. We now preach you are saved by grace through faith. Alone, the word alone was the argument for 500 years. The word alone is there. You can read it yourself. The protest is over. The protest is over. So let me pray, and then we'll start the video.
What a lying deceiver.
I believe we will begin to see more and more people called out to go into the world and work among the churches in the spirit of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Ministries of reconciliation. We need to throw as much resources and energy into the ministry of reconciliation as we do to the ministry of evangelization. Or are we building walls without foundations? I challenge you to find a bridge builder and back him or her. And I'd like to pray this prayer. And if you agree, you can say amen. This is a dying man's prayer. And when you know you're about to die, you certainly pray the most important prayers. He said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one.
Not with the Antichrist.
Glory to the Father. Amen.
The bride
doesn't marry the beast.
Excuse me.
Here comes Francis.
Because I speak in Italian. But are not speaking English. But
I'm going to speak over when he speaks Italian, so you'll know what he's saying.
Speak no Italian, no English, but carefully. È una lingua più semplice e più autentica. E questa lingua del cuore ha un linguaggio e una grammatica speciale. La grammatica semplice. Due regole. Ama Dio soprattutto e ama l'altro perché tuo fratello e la tua sorella. E con queste due cose andiamo avanti. Io sono qui con mio fratello, mio vescovo fratello Tony Parnan. Siamo amici da anni. E lui mi ha detto del vostro compegno, del vostro raduno. Con piacere vi invio un saluto. Un saluto gioioso e nostalgico. Gioioso perché a me dà gioia che voi siete riuniti per lodare Gesù Cristo, l'unico Signore, e per pregare al Padre e ricevere lo Spirito. E questo dà gioia perché si vede che il Signore lavora in tutto il mondo. È nostalgico perché ma succede come nei quartieri fra noi, no? Nei quartieri ci sono famiglie che si vogliono e famiglie che non si vogliono, famiglie che si uniscono e famiglie che si separano. E noi siamo un po', mi permetto la parola, separati.
Separati perché
i peccati ci hanno separati, i nostri peccati.
Joyful because it gives me joy that you have come together to worship Jesus Christ, the only Lord.
Una lunga strada di
and to pray to the Father and to receive the Spirit.
Comunitario.
This brings
ma
me joy because we can see that God is working
tutti
all over the world.
Nostalgic
because but it happens as within our suburbs. I don't know what he's talking about
nostalgia.
In the suburbs, there are families that love each other and families that come together and families who separate themselves. We are kind of, permit me to say, separated because it's sin that has separated us. All our sins, the misunderstandings throughout history. It has been a long road of sins that we all shared in. Who is to blame?
Per comprare.
We all share the blame. We have all sinned.
Per poter
there is
mangiare.
Only one blameless, the Lord.
Ma andavano a comprare. Avevano i soldi. Ma non potevano
I
mangiare
I am nostalgic
i soldi.
That this separation comes to an end and gives us communion.
Lì hanno trovato qualcosa
I am nostalgic of that embrace.
Del pasto hanno trovato
that the Holy
fratello.
Scripture speaks of when Joseph's brothers began to starve from hunger.
Abbiamo dei soldi, soldi della cultura,
they
soldi
went to Egypt
storia,
to buy
tante
so that
ricchezze
they
culturali
eat.
Anche religiose tradizioni diverse noi
they went to buy they had money but they could not eat the money.
E dobbiamo piangere insieme, come ha fatto Giuseppe.
But quel there they found
finish.
Something more than food. They found their brother.
Io vi
You're
parlo come fratello. E vi parlo così semplicemente.
All of us have currency, the currency of our culture, the currency of our history.
Facciamo crescere
we have a lot of cultural riches and religious riches and we have diverse traditions.
A trovarci, abbracciarci e a lodare Gesù Cristo.
But we have to encounter one another as brothers.
Vi ringrazio
tanto. You are not my brother. We must cry together like Joseph did. These tears will unite us.
Vi ringrazio tanto.
The tears of love.
Per lasciarmi parlare la lingua del cuore.
I am speaking to you as a brother, but you're not my brother. I speak to you in a simple way.
Vi chiedo anche un favore, di pregare per me perché
with joy and nostalgia, let us allow our nostalgia to grow, because this will prepare us, propel us to find each other, to embrace one another. And together to worship Jesus Christ as the only Lord of history. I thank you profoundly for listening to me.
Perché questo è un miracolo, il miracolo dell'unità è incominciato.
I thank you for allowing me to speak the language of the heart.
Il Manzoni, famoso, dice questa frase in un romanzo. Un uomo semplice del popolo dice questa frase.
And I also thank you for a favor. Please pray for me because I need your prayers.
Senza finirlo bene.
Yes, you do, especially
Lui
need to be saved and get born again. And let us pray to the Lord that he unites us all. Come on, we are brothers. Let's give each other a spiritual hug and let God complete the work that he has begun. God didn't begin this work. And this is a miracle, the miracle of unity that has begun.
Oh.
Now listen to all the crazy nuts.
Glory,
nuts in the audience are
Tony,
standing
thank
up
you,
applauding
sir.
And screaming.
Come on, the man asked us to pray for him. Oh, Father. Father, we answer his request. And since we know not how to pray for him as we ought, other than to agree with him in his quest and in his heart for the unity of the body of Christ, we come together in the unity of our faith. Hallelujah. So Father, we just, all of us now, according to Scripture, when we know not how to pray as we ought, we pray for him in the Spirit. We receive utterance in the Holy Ghost. We receive prayers of faith. We receive, sir, we receive words that are not our own.
Copeland needs to get saved himself.
La del glumo meno tele ashkepe. Ve polo puma mamaya tel clemine kido. Popolo maya tale endole como meste. Stelo clopai lebo le kamana. Bramande kirko poma blesh do boskire. Telecheto le kampakle nena makloma hala larghero del veno. Greto steschi manetelo. Kerebana. Palo como pole kito clestindo do plecava. Stekle a fora batili e kille como calaragava. Oh, hallelujah, 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 glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Father, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Tony, bring your phone in, come here. I want you to video a message back. Come up here and let's do it this way. so he can see this whole congregation.
Yeah, the blind leading the blind.
My dear sir, thank you so from the bottom of our hearts. All of these leaders represent literally tens of thousands of people that love you, that believe God with you.
What?
And in answer to your request, we have just prayed for you and with you, and we did so in the Spirit. And we believe we receive, according to the words of Jesus in Mark 11:24, that whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Our desire, sir, along with you, is in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Thank you, sir. We do bless you. We receive your blessing. It's very, very important to us. And we bless you with all of our hearts. We bless you with all of our souls. We bless you with all of our might. And we thank you, sir. We thank God for you. And so, all of us declare together, be blessed. Once again, all together, be blessed. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
I think you're going to have to come to the Vatican.
I will. I'm available. Praise God.
He's inviting God's him will to be the Vatican.
Done. Amen. Tony, thank you, sir. My, how you've blessed this place tonight.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I love you.
Give him a love, baby.
Thank you.
Amen. Woo! I told you you'd never forget it. Yeah. Whoa. I'm telling you right now, heaven is thrilled over this.
Yeah, heaven is thrilled. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thrilled.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know what's so thrilling to me? I mean, when we went into the ministry 47 years ago, this was impossible. People would read that scripture and say, yeah, right, till we all come together in unity of our faith. And we ain't no way that's ever going to happen.
Hopefully not. Hopefully not. I mean, who wants to have unity with the Antichrist beast system? The false religious system. I don't think so. Anyway, you heard it with your own ears. And you can go on YouTube and put in Tony Palmer, who calls himself Bishop. He also calls himself Your Grace and a few other ridiculous titles. But anyway, it's very, very shocking. Very, very shocking. Expect to see anything in the days ahead. Like I said, expect to see a photo of Copeland there in Rome bowing down to Francis and kissing his ring. I'm sure that'll be the next thing. But let us beware of wolves. Again, Romans 16, verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the people. Deceive the hearts of the simple. And there was a group of simple-minded people in that place that night. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. So beware. This is evil. Now, remember this man, Tony Palmer, was saying that there's no more protest, and we all agree on the doctrine of ye are saved through grace and not of works. But, of course, go back to the Catholic website, even the Vatican II papers, which I have, and they state very plainly that there is no salvation outside of joining the Catholic Church. You must be a Catholic to be saved. And then they don't even believe themselves that they're saved. Very few Catholics will ever tell you that they think they're going to heaven. They'll say, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm good enough or whatever. So they have no clue what it means to be born again, because a Catholic believes they're born again when they're baptized. And so they don't know anything about being born again in the true sense as we know it as Christians. So you can also look up the scriptures about the great whore, the Revelation 17:1, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Revelation 17:15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Revelation 17:16, and the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Revelation 19:2, for true and righteous are his judgments, hallelujah, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. We do not forget the millions of people that were murdered by the Catholic so-called church, which is not a church. It is a false religious system. And come out of her, my people. We have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Kenneth Copeland is not a Christian. He's not saved. Anybody that would bring this man, Tony Palmer, to a conference and then also play a video from Francis at the Vatican, these people cannot be saved. They do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the same Lord that we serve. They are deceived and they are deceivers. So beware of wolves that come in sheep's clothing. If you go back and listen to what Francis said, or whatever his name is, it didn't even make any sense what he was saying. He doesn't talk about Jesus Christ being the only way of salvation, or he doesn't ask people to be born again and to repent of their sins. No, he's asking you to come back. Come on, join us. Jump back in here and join us, the false religious system. Come on in for a swim. But it's an organization of drowning people. And very, very, very shocking. Very shocking. So I encourage you to do your homework. Go and look at the video. Go to the Catholic website and find out yourself what they believe, what they really believe. And you'll be shocked. So they do not believe like us, like true born-again believers. They do not believe in the sola scriptura. They believe that the Bible and the catechism, and then they make their own rules and regulations. So they do not follow the God of the Bible. And we don't want to be deceived. So be on the lookout. Like I said, I thank God for the internet and that this information was brought to the forefront yesterday by some people on Facebook. And it's so good to have these outlets where we can share with one another and kind of keep an eye on what's going on in the so-called church world. So the days are, truly the days are evil, but we look up because our redemption draws nigh. We know that Jesus Christ is coming again, and we have a job to do. They preach a false unity. We do not unite with false doctrine. Our unity comes in because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and because of his word. And because of being born again, we are united in that. We do not reunite with false teachers and false prophets. We have no unity with these people. And in order for somebody to be called a brother or a sister, you must be born again to be a member of the body of Christ. That's the only way that you get membership. So if you're not born again today, you need to read the third chapter of John. Jesus said it himself. It's not something someone made up. He said, ye must be born again. First, you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Confession in Romans, the book of Romans says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You must confess with your mouth. Not that you were sprinkled when you were a child, and so you made a your parents made a profession of faith for you. Nobody can do that. You must repent of your sins. You must ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior and believe who he is and what he did for us when he died on the cross, that he died for our sins so that we would not have to die in our sins, because we're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's only been one person that ever walked the earth that didn't sin, and that was the Lord Jesus. And so we can receive his free gift of salvation and his free gift of eternal life. We can't earn it. There's nothing that we can do on this earth to earn our salvation. And to think that we can is kind of a smack in the face to God, because Jesus Christ already paid the price. And there's nothing more we can do about it except accept it and receive it and know what real peace and real joy is. So we thank God today for his precious gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious gift of eternal life and salvation. What a wonderful Lord we serve. And that God has given us the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit of truth, so that we will know truth and we will know error. So get your Bible out today. Read your Bible. Find out what it says for yourself, lest any man deceive you. And there are so many deceivers out there. So if we don't know God's word, we will be deceived. You will be deceived if you don't know his word. So I want to thank you all for tuning in today, and I hope you'll take to heart the information and go and do some research yourself. So God is good, and his mercy endures forever. I pray God's blessings on you all this week, and I ask you to, for you that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, to come into your life, because you'll never be sorry. It's a wonderful life to know God, to serve God, and to have the assurance of a home in heaven one day. So You can't get that from joining a church. You can only get that by having the born-again experience. So God bless you, and come back again next week, okay? Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.